Do you lead an organization, a business, company, a nonprofit? Imagine if your people delivered truly inspired performance day in and day out. Well, it can happen. The challenge lies in knowing what motivates your people. That's where SEMA International comes in. They unlock the mystery and the magic of human motivation. To learn more, visit SEMAInternational.com, S-I-M-A International, for inspired performance.
Join the team from SEMA International on Circles of Change with Dr. Zara Larson, Saturday mornings, 9 to 11, here on 104.1 The Truth.
Welcome back to Circles of Change with Dr. Zara Larson, and it's a pleasure for me to wrap up this special two-hour show that we're dedicating to SEMA International, the system for identifying motivated abilities, with none other than the executive director of the organization, Ed Poff. So, Ed, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Zara.
You bet. Well, let me give a brief intro. Ed has actually been leading the organization since 2005, which focuses on, in his case, organizational planning, recruiting, business development, and general management of the team of globally based consultants. Ed also handles his own practice of executive coaching engagements with a focus specifically on significantly maximizing employee motivation, job fit, and organizational effectiveness. Armed with undergraduate and graduate work in business administration and marketing, before joining SEMA International, Ed enjoyed a very successful 20-year career at AT&T in senior management roles in sales, product management, and advanced solutions development. He has a real passion for quality management, which has extended over the years to include TQM, Lean Enterprise, and Six Sigma certifications. His work on a special venture capital team internal to AT&T, which was involved in discovering and investing in high-tech startups to maximize internet and wireless communications, and remember that would have been a time before it was now all in vogue, led to actually his joining two successful high-tech startup companies, further developing his ability to successfully build teams and grow businesses. Ed has been very active in the communities where he's lived, and for over 25 years has been in lay ministry in four churches, worked both with foster care and crisis pregnancy center ministry at the same time. He has served on numerous boards, including the New York State Museum, the Hartford Arts Council, three churches, two private schools. Ed celebrates 27 years of marriage, and he and his wife and high school sweetheart, Cher, have four children. So, Ed, welcome again.
Thank you, Zara.
You bet. Well, you know, we always talk about SEMA, and we have, of course, on this show with your prior three colleagues, that this is all about revealing, identifying, and then playing to all of our uniqueness. And of course, this band of consultants that you now kind of organize like puppies in a box sometime, they are all indeed unique individuals. So this must be a continued leadership journey for you.
There's no doubt. It's puppies in a box or herding cats is something that, familiar phrase, but it's really true. But it's an honor and it's a privilege. We really do have a wonderful group of people who are terribly unique and understand the power of uniqueness. So they play that out. They play out their uniqueness. So it's great fun when we're together, but you just never know what's going to happen.
That's exactly true. Well, Ed, we might want to share with our listeners the breadth and depth of the community that you lead, because we now have, I believe, what, 24 practices based around the world?
Yeah, it's they're all relatively small practices, Zara, as you know, and the majority of the practices are here in the U.S. We have one of our largest and most successful practices in Oxford, England. We have a practice in the Netherlands and one in Australia as well. And the practices are really divided into really four applications primarily. One would be executive coaching, primarily to corporates, and well, it could be any leaders around the world. Talent management that focuses on a number of applications, teams in particular, and executive search, finding leaders for emerging businesses and, well, really all sorts of businesses. And then we really do have the core of what we do is our SEMA assessment. So we have a core of people who really are analysts, our biographers, who really do the analysis. And some of those people have been doing that analysis for 50 years in their respective practices.
Yes, in fact, of course, we started the show with the gentleman himself who came up with that technology, and that would be Art Miller Jr. you know, the other thing we might mention, of course, because, of course, SEMA has been featured in multiple segments here on Circles of Change, is that also using this technology for individuals of any stage or age. In fact, Bill Hendricks, our colleague who runs under the moniker of the Giftedness Center, works considerably with youth as a way to help reveal and set the beginnings of their career off on a right direction.
Yes, absolutely. It's fascinating that SEMA and the individual, the really the DNA of a person, obviously is there, you know, as an infant and follows you through your entire life. So it's appropriate and applies to people of all ages. Obviously, the younger, since we base the technology on stories from your life, your ability to communicate meaningful stories, stories of achievement and satisfaction, that younger children have great difficulty doing it, so our traditional means really don't work, but it clearly is present. And it's something that, you know, my wife and I have experienced over the years with our children, and as we got into foster care and now adopted two children of recently, it's fascinating to see how patterns play out and how to parent better, how to do marriage better, how to do career better in all stages of life.
Ed, you actually were exposed to SEMA back during your AT&T days, isn't that correct?
That's right.
And then you also went on to use it extensively in your church ministry. I think that might be a nice place to share with the community, just in terms of your own career, how you got exposed to this and, lo and behold, not just got licensed in it, but now ventured inside the organization.
Yeah. Thank you, Zara. Be glad to do that. Yeah, I definitely was exposed to the technology back in AT&T a number of years ago, almost 20 years ago, 15, 20 years ago. And when actually Art Miller had worked with the Human Resources Department at AT&T, and really, we were in the process of replacing what was known as an assessment center. So new hires or people who would need to be hired or promoted, went through an assessment center. It was a half-a-day behavioral observation. You'd assume the role of an executive in an office and have an in-basket, and people would come in and out. Your phone would ring, and you had to react to all of that. But as you can imagine, it's fairly expensive, and over the years, it proved not to be as reliable as needed, but it was replaced with a program that was based upon SEMA, and I used to hire many people in AT&T, and I also used the same capability and tools to hire people in primarily salespeople and sales support people in the two startup companies that I had the privilege of participating in and leading. But all about storytelling. But over those years of hiring successful salespeople, sales support people, managers, leaders, it was so apparent. Well, back in AT&T, we had access to virtually every tool, every human resource
exactly.
Tool that we could find, and this just so stood out really was very, very effective. And just my track record with it in hiring people, successful people, and people who were really fit for the job just carried through those years at AT&T.
And it isn't just the hiring, of course, but actually using that knowledge to onboard them so that they would be retained in those positions and personally be fulfilled as well as match what the organization needed.
Absolutely. But absolutely, I've used it in my career, and then also in not-for-profit and the work that I've done in churches, as you related. And it's been a fascinating time with my church here in Connecticut. And this goes back, 6 or 7 years ago when I was the church chairman at the time. And we were reorganizing the staff. This was a church of about 2,000 people, and it had grown to the point where the staff that was hired when the church was 200 to 300 people, really, we had a much greater, the need for those leaders were much different. And so we worked for 3 years with SEMA to put the staff and those leaders in the right positions and then hire new people. And since I'm obviously have been involved over these many years, I've been able to see the fruits of that labor, and it's just worked out great. So it just proved to me yet again it works in industry and career and family and obviously even in churches where leadership and giftedness and uniqueness are really key to good performance.
Absolutely. Well, I think I recall that back in that 6 or 7 years ago, that's actually when you and I first met. And if I recall, you also were giving of your time to hold a men's group affiliated with your church for those who were in career transition.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I think you had said that that kind of was a trajectory or a vector that pulled you right along to that point of then when you were approached to become executive director. It was almost like a hand in glove. It's like you'd already been there.
Yeah. It's really true, Zara. I've been leading this group for over 12 years now. It's every other Saturday morning for breakfast with a group of men. 10, 12 men come every other Saturday. And this really men from all walks of life. Some are CEOs and doctors and lawyers, and it's all about career and family and, you know, just how to do life better. But it's been an absolute privilege, and I've interwoven SEMA through those 12 years with many of those men, not all of them, but it's just been a privilege. But really understanding great fit and use and people is what I've been about my whole career, whether it be at AT&T or the startups, hiring people, managing people, leading people. But it really is about the individual and their uniqueness and great fit. And that great fit changes. And these men, in most cases, are in some form of transition, you know, career transition,
yes,
life transition, and, you know, how to pick the right spots and be in the right spots that really create the joy and satisfaction of life is what we're after, and it's great fun.
Well, of course, also assisting people that are in transition, we know that there are tremendous stresses that are put on their family and personal lives at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
So this enabling them with this additional self-awareness most certainly must transpose and help guide their entire family unit as they're moving forward that phase.
Yeah, it's so true, Zara. And I know you know because you are a great observer and participant, and you know with SEMA now. But it is all about who we are, who we were designed to be, how we're wired is another way we like to express it. And yes, it plays out in every aspect of our lives.
That's great. Well, again, my guest with me right at this point is Ed Poff, who is Executive Director of SEMA International. We're going to take a quick 2-minute commercial break and come back with us for our final segment here on Circles of Change with Dr. Zara Larson on 104.1 FM, Tucson News Talk FM. Welcome back again to Circles of Change with Dr. Zara Larson. This is our final segment of a wonderful 2-hour show with my colleagues from SEMA International. Great pleasure. And again, Ed Poff, welcome on the line.
Thank you.
Well, we've had quite a nice introduction, Ed. I think one thing we might want to step back and do, because I always try to reveal this for my SEMA colleagues, and that is, what at the core are you all about, your motivated abilities pattern, and how might that come to play as you manage and navigate the SEMA organization?
Okay. Well, not only in the SEMA organization, but in life.
Yes, please.
I have this graph in my head. So it's a X and Y axis type graph, and I desperately need for that graph to be pointed up. I need advancement and progression in every aspect of my life. And that is my health, my faith, my marriage, you know, how I'm parenting my kids, certainly this organization. And I typically do that, not typically, tightly coupled in my motivation is to meet needs to create advancement and progression.
Sure.
So it can start at individuals, and then it collaboratively it moves to the progression of the organization. One without the other is empty for me. I'm very much a collaborator as well.
Well, and as we said, the fact that we have 24 practices in various locations and all these different unique individuals, I suspect there's never a day that you're not challenged and also very fulfilled then in this work. And we thank you for your being the one doing it, not some of us who want to be out producing in a different way. Well, you did have a fascinating experience, though, in late last year, Ed, with the opportunity to teach at a university in another part of the world. Why don't you recap and share that story amongst your stories with our audience?
Yeah. Well, I think it also dovetails, Zara, with one of the responsibilities or opportunities, challenges we have as an organization, and that is to really expand to other regions of the world.
Yes.
And I went on the trip this past spring, last spring, April of last year, to Kazakhstan. And I've spoken internationally just a few times, but this was a two-week opportunity to teach in the Kazakhstan American Free University. It's a university there in Kazakhstan, the former Soviet republic, where people really were, well, you know the culture.
Sure, absolutely.
You know their history and heritage. And so thinking and teaching to them about their individual uniqueness, gifts, and capabilities, and how to weave that into their best fit and choices for their career, even this many years after the fall of the Soviet Union, it's still a big part of their culture. So it was a real challenge in this teaching, and I only had 2 weeks, and I had six classes, and so worked 8 hours a day. Had some real bumps in the road early because of language. In that particular university, they do speak English, but it's obviously, you know, their second language. Russian is their first. So a lot of what I had to do, about half of what I did was translated. But our process is understanding the story from someone's life. So language is critical. And so we really worked hard at this, but it was absolutely wonderful. And it just proved again that storytelling around the world is universal, just about to any and every culture. And when you do listen and dial into someone's life through the stories, their best stories of their life, particularly young people, where they achieve something and gain great satisfaction, and you're there with them and walking through those details and honor them in those details, and then weave together a pattern that shows them how unique they are and then point that to a career, it's absolutely wonderful. And it just proved again in this kind of crazy culture with a Russian language that SEMA works, and it works really, really well.
So I suspect for you it was obviously then because you could do it face-to-face,
yes.
And though you may not, because you were working through translators, correct?
Well,
part of the time. But to watch for the to watch for the nonverbal communication, the light in their eyes, the energy in their voice, the emotion in their body language.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And it really plays across, you know, internationally, yes, but executives and teenagers, people love it when you dial into their life, and these are their best stories, and you're honoring them, you know, as a person when you do that.
I think, too, when you're, of course, in a situation like you've been throughout your career, in fact, we almost gravitate towards these type of clients, those who are really struggling to let go of something that was difficult in their past, then actually this flips the switch. So early in the process, it isn't just about getting the report and the charts and the different taglines that we have fun using, but allowing them that reflective time to kind of flip their own headset in a different place.
Absolutely.
So for to do this with these people in Kazakhstan who have weathered such a storm, the type of stories that they pulled upon, I suspect they were markedly different than perhaps what you typically hear from clients here in the United States.
Actually not.
Really?
Believe it or not. I mean, obviously different settings, and, you know, you have to kind of understand the context, which is different. But really, they're very, very similar. And that's another just a fascinating and wonderful realization that we're all the same.
Yes.
We really are. All the same in terms of stories, all different and terribly unique. But the stories were very similar. These were, you know, kids building a fort when they were, you know, 12 sure. and 13, and, you know, just all the normal things about, you know, your life.
Exactly. Well, Ed, we've got a big anniversary coming up in 2011, and that would be the 50th year anniversary for the SEMA organization. Tell us about some of the things you envision are going to play out then.
Yeah, yeah. Well, we're working on that right now. In fact, we'll be in Florida next week, and we're going to be planning on a great deal of that. But we absolutely want to honor our founder, Art Miller, which you've had on a previous show. And you know, Art has given his life to this, and we're just it's fantastic that he's still with us after these many years. So we're going to honor him, and we're going to do our best to highlight the wonderful work that many, many people have done through these 50 years, and really highlight people whose career and life have been touched. And so it's going to be a celebration of the work that we've done and our founder.
Ed, any idea how many maps have been generated over this time frame, plus or minus?
Wow, it's so hard, Zara. We really did not do a great job of
collecting the data. Yeah,
you know, but you know, if you looked, it's certainly hundreds of thousands.
Exactly,
I mean, it's certainly in that realm.
That's great. Well, Ed, the opportunity to host SEMA as well and all my colleagues here today couldn't have come at a better time with just wrapping up here internationally the Sanctity of Human Life Week. Mm-hmm. And you wanted to comment on that, I believe.
Well, it's just at the core of everything that I believe, and it's what's drawn me to SEMA as a technology. The Sanctity of Human Life Week is a week set aside to recognize the value of human life, the value of the specific, no matter where you are and who you are and color, shape, whatever, human life is precious. We are fearfully and wonderfully made for specific purposes in this life. And SEMA is this wonderful way of seeing the unique contribution and value that humans can make. And so it's peering inside in our, you know, I don't want to sound godlike, but this is, in our humble way, it is a wonderful way of seeing that special uniqueness. And just the Sanctity of Human Life Week is just a neat time to reflect on that and recognize the value of human life.
Very good. Well, Ed, thank you so much again for representing our colleagues from around the world with the System for Identifying Motivated Abilities, and we'll look forward to keeping track on that celebration in 2011. Thanks again for joining us here on the show.
Thanks, Zara. It's been wonderful.
You bet. Do you lead an organization, a business, company, a nonprofit? Imagine if your people delivered truly inspired performance day in and day out. Well, it can happen. The challenge lies in knowing what motivates your people. That's where SEMA International comes in. They unlock the mystery and the magic of human motivation. To learn more, visit SEMAInternational.com, SIMA International, for inspired performance.